Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are in the third month of the calendar year 2025, week two. That means that we are on step three of the 12-step ministry for Christians, which means that this is a building and ascending commodity. We have the pleasure and privilege of sharing this hour with Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step guru extraordinaire. Brother Tyler, welcome to the broadcast as always.
Thank you, Bradley. It's a blessing always being here with you.
It is a blessing to have you, brother. We've known each other for many, many years now and have shared God's service together, my consummate privilege. And I think this 12-step project that we do on a monthly basis over the airwaves is very helpful, and you make it so. So we're at step three. I'm going to ask that you give us a brief overview of the first two steps as we lead into step three for the day.
Okay, Bradley. So remember in step one, we admitted that we were powerless over our separation from God and that our lives had become unmanageable. So by allowing our wills to take over and run our lives, we separated ourselves from God. And in that confusion, our lives slowly but surely became unmanageable. And what happened was we then come to believe that a power greater than ourselves, because we're obviously out of control, could restore us to sanity. Basically, God's a gentleman. He doesn't go around calling people crazy. But let's face it, if you look at our society, at our culture, and what we're doing as humans in general, we're pretty crazy. So came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And now we're at step three, where we came to believe, step three, make a decision. So now remember, all we did in the first two steps were come to realizations. And here in the third step, we're going to make a decision. We're not like defining the theological aspects of the universe. We're not. All we're doing is make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. So basically, the basics comes down to this. Step one, I can't. Step two, He can. Step three, I might as well let Him.
Beautifully stated.
And that's where we're at. So we're at the point of, and this is really these three steps are the foundation steps for the entire rest of the 12 steps. The most usually not getting step three down in a good, strong foundation is usually the weak point of almost everybody's program. When a program fails, that's a 12-step program I'm talking about, when it fails, it's usually because step three is not firmly in place, and therefore it collapses.
Well, I love the way you have cast this. I can't, He can, I might as well let Him. But what I have found, brother, is that, and this is very sad to me, we're dealing with the realm, are we not, of confession and repentance. That's, we're acknowledging and turning away from. What I have found is that most people, they go limp on this one. There can be ungodly remorse, but there's so many of us, we fail to confront head on our contribution to the debacle. And that's catastrophic, because relationships can never be repaired if we haven't confronted ourselves.
It is literally amazing sometimes to hear someone justify their part of a disastrous situation, that their part was okay and that everybody else involved was wrong.
You know, I recently have to be careful here, but I recently had to have a talk with someone, and I was lovingly disposed. And the long and the short of it is that the gentleman who needed to confront something in his life has decided to proceed apace with, oh, woe is me. Well, oh, woe is me, yes, because you're not confronting the core issue. It's always going to be, oh, woe is me. Is that really where you want to be the rest of your life? I wouldn't think so.
Exactly. Yeah.
I say that with tenderness. I love the guy.
Yes, tender and love, but you know, you have to get out of the woe is me, get on down the road. The first thing you need to do is confront your part. You cannot control other people. You cannot control external situations. The only thing you can control is yourself. You can't go around trying to make other people do it the right way. You're wasting your energy, you know? What you can do is you can do it the right way. You can do the next thing right.
You're going to love this. Someone very dear to me just said to me literally the other day, I really need to learn how to cope with my anger and because it's killing me. It's job stress related, you know. Paige, everything in me, and I'm speaking this with such sweet, affectionate humor because I was so happy to hear it, but everything in me wanted to say the killer, I've been trying to tell you this for years, but it was joy to my ears that the individual finally, for the first time within my earshot, acknowledged how I'm responding is my problem. It was joy to my ears. It was right out of this playbook.
Exactly. We cannot control what other people do. We cannot control situations that happen around us. But what we can control is how we respond to them.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us. And the way we do it is by looking at ourselves and looking at our own triggers. We'll get into that later on, and why we respond the way we do. But right now, we're predominantly interested in, look, our leadership of our lives have led us into cataclysmic and disastrous situations. If it was not... If it was not of our own making, it was of the situation that we were thrusted into. But still, our leadership has left us wanting. What we need is we need some other kind of leadership, and our leadership has got to come from a power that's greater than us. You know, this world is bigger than we are. And Lord knows, a society, if you're going to go along with society, I don't know what's going to happen to you, because this society is like, it's a mess, in my opinion, my humble opinion. It's like it's gone haywire. It doesn't know which way it's going next.
Well, Paige, there are some issues that do indeed and in truth require rocket scientists and the so-called experts, but on this more fundamental plateau of existence, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand the veracity of what you've just said. We're a mess right now.
Yeah, and all we need to do, God's been putting his hand out for thousands of years. All we have to do is take God's hand. And individuals have been doing it But as a culture, we're definitely. There was a time when the American culture had taken God's hands, and look what it did for us. We became the greatest nation in the world.
I would even argue that where there continued to be need for redress of sin, the hand of God gave us the conduit by which we could acknowledge our sin. I'm thinking of the race issue primarily. We were able to, not perfectly, but we were able to confront that because we had God's hand. He was forbearing, he was patient, and he brought us to that place, especially in the 60s, when we could begin to confront it.
Because the difference was we could address our issues because we were working along with God, and God is a kind and gentle God, and he will bring you along in a soft and gentle way. He's not going to drag you through the hot coals, you know, the picture of him being the evil God with the lightning bolt sitting up on the cloud, just waiting for a chance to shoot you with a lightning bolt. I don't know where that came from.
That came out of Greek mythology, Hindu mythology. But we're on a much better track. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler will continue on that better track in just a moment.
Yeah.
Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning with a second round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are exploring as well as we can within the confines of the hour, step three of the 12-step ministry for Christians, indeed for anyone. And step three reads that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we have understood him. And Brother Tyler, it makes me think. I realize that this is a pipe dream, but can you imagine, and I do ask you pardon for my hoarseness today, can you imagine if the General Session at the United Nations on the east side of New York City were to come forward in formal session and do a 12-step program? We, as the United Nations, have made a decision to turn our will and the lives of our nations over to the care of God as we are able to understand it. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Can you imagine that? And that it's a non-sectarian state. It's a non-sectarian statement. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be. Don't be God yourself.
Think, right? Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. But the idea is get out of God's way. That's what we're doing, getting out of God's way so that God can step into our lives and do something that we can't do for ourselves.
Do you know, Paige, you were with me yesterday. We had a special luncheon at First Baptist Church on behalf of the Philadelphia Bible Society. It was a very involved session, a lovely meal, good fellowship, some wonderful reports. I was preparing to walk out of the building just filled with joy. Until one person came to me, and I didn't let it get to me, but one person comes to me just as I'm getting ready to leave with a major complaint about the fundamental nature of the program. I was actually staggered. And I mention this because the mindset, and I want to be careful because the person is very dear, but the mindset that produced that is a mindset I've been dealing with for over 20 years. And it's why there's been a problem in that area for over 20 years. A refusal to surrender to something other than what you're thinking or feeling. A refusal to surrender to my, if I'm miserable, there must be something I'm doing to contribute to it. Maybe I can't be jumping over fences happy as a lark. But the way I respond to my plight is significant. And it's a continuous round of mental negativity. It's frightening.
It is. It's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I walked out of there elated, yesterday.
Yes.
You know, that we had an ecumenical council that was, you know, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what in the world?
Catholic and Protestant, black and white, male and female, dogmatic differences to go all around the room.
All around.
And yet we found our commonality. We as we understood God, as Father Gill from the Basilica understands him as a Catholic, as you and I, as evangelical Protestants, understand him, we found common ground. What a joy. But we surrendered to the Spirit. If you don't do that, God have mercy on you.
Yep. You got to yield. And this is the first step of yielding. And all you're doing here is making a decision to yield. You're not actually yielding yet. You're making the decision to yield. The follow-on steps will help you actually do the yielding. But we're making a decision that, okay, basically, I'm not God. And the Bible verse that's attached to this step is, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's Romans 12:1.
It's a great text.
Yep. And so basically we're taking ourselves out of the I, me, my, the unholy trinity, you know, I, me, my, and putting ourselves in the hands of the Holy Trinity, the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're getting out of ourselves and letting ourselves and giving ourselves over to something bigger than ourselves. Now, for the average Christian walking into a church, on their initial take, they probably are doing step three by turning their will and their life over to the care of the church as they understood it. This is something that happens naturally. Problem is that the average Christian never gets past that. They turn their will and their life over to the care of the church as they understand it. They sit down there on the pew and they rot. They make no more progress beyond that. And the same thing happens in the AA rooms or the NA rooms or the CA rooms or the GA rooms. They come in, they get right up to step three. And this is a staggering step because they don't do a thorough job here. And they get stuck here at this step three, and they sit in the rooms, and they just don't drink. They just don't do drugs. They just don't gamble. They just don't overeat and go to meetings. And they're absolutely miserable for the rest of their lives.
You and I have used the phrase together, there's nothing worse than a dry drunk. They're not even getting the pleasure of sin out of it anymore, right?
Exactly.
I mean, the pleasure may be fleeting, but it's... But dry drunks, they've not dealt with the issues, have they?
They've not dealt with the issues. And this, the 12-step program is more than just getting past a substance or an addictive behavior or an excessive compulsive behavior that you might have. The 12 steps is getting you right with God.
And if I may build, upon that with classic evangelical categories, we don't just repent of sinful behavior, but the sin nature has to be killed off so that we can have a new existence.
Exactly.
Predicated upon fresh foundation.
Well, I found it, I don't know about anybody else, I found it impossible to control the sin nature of my own power, personally. I don't know, somebody else is maybe more powerful than I am. I found the sin nature was there no matter what I did, no matter how I stand on my head for 12 hours in a corner, and as I still had the same sin nature when I came down.
Yeah.
It wasn't changing anything.
No.
You know, yoga, a meditation, Namyako Renge Q.
That's a new one to me.
Namyako Renge
Q. I've never heard of it. No, I don't know it.
That's Buddhist.
Oh, yeah. Sounds Buddhistic. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All of that stuff never ever helped me manage my sin nature. It was always there, even if I covered it up and closed it under covers, it would still be there, plaguing me.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story on the other end of the break that will intrigue you and that plays right into the veracity of what you're saying. But first, we must take a break. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, our 12-step guru extraordinaire, returning for a third round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Brother Paige, we speak of the sin nature, and it needs to be addressed, and only the Spirit of God can address it by way of slaying it. But as an example, I remember many years ago, and I do not mean any unkindness at all. It's a humorous story, but I'm not making fun of the individual. But it relates to the sin nature, not changing, but for God's transformative hand. I used to conduct a Bible class with a group of elderly residents at a nearby facility. I did it for 17 years. I enjoyed it very much. There was one particular lady. Apparently, she had been a tennis pro. She used to instruct in tennis. I would imagine when she was younger, she was a very attractive woman. She still had, I don't mean this in any unkind way of her age, but she still had that something, a residual. There was still something about her. You knew that when she was younger, she was rather sensuous. But very sweet lady came to class every week. We talked the Bible. We were in an elevator together once. She was beginning to lose it mentally. And I say that with compassion. We were in the elevator together one day, and I swear to you, she was giving me the once-over like I was a piece of meat. And I made some comment about myself, and she said with a provocation, almost a sexual provocation in her voice, "I bet you are." And I just couldn't wait to get off the elevator. I didn't know what was going to happen. But as she was beginning to lose it mentally, what was at her core was still there. And again, I don't mean this unkindly, but she was obviously a woman who in her younger years had sowed her wild oats sexually. That was still in her, you know? So often when we get to that point, it becomes increasingly evident that the sin nature, the flesh, is still adamantly present,
right,
no matter how sweet we may appear. Now, again, I speak with affectionate humor for a woman who was very dear to me, but obviously she had an issue. But step three could have broken
exactly
that many years prior.
What she should have done and what we need to do is to understand that we need a power greater than ourselves to overcome our sin nature. If we could have overcome our sin nature on our own in any way, then the work of the cross was useless.
That's right.
It was overkill. If we could have done it in any way, the fact is that we cannot do it. There is no way humanly possible for us to assail our own sin nature. It will beat us every time.
Overkill parlays into roadkill, and the roadkill is Jesus, right?
Right.
You know, I've put it this way, and we've talked together before. If FDR and Winston Churchill could have defeated the Nazi Germans and the Imperial Japanese by means other than the transport of millions of American, British, Canadian, and Australian soldiers, amongst others, and putting them into harm's way, wouldn't they have done it?
Exactly.
Of course they would have done it.
Exactly.
There was no other way. Right.
Exactly. There was no other way. The minute we got another way, we used it. It's an atomic bomb.
That's right.
You know? And this is the thing. What a great analogy, because that's what God did to sin. He used the atomic bomb.
Yes.
He nuked it.
The most powerful commodity in the cosmos is the blood of Christ.
Exactly.
Yes.
He nuked it with the blood of Christ, and Satan was taken off guard. He had absolutely no idea what was coming.
Well, can you imagine what Satan was thinking yesterday in our church? Catholic and Protestant, black and white, men and women, city and suburb. That was an extraordinary cross-section of God's kingdom.
Oh, yes. Oh, Satan was hating
absolutely.
That. He was absolutely hating that because he loves to divide us up into small little groups and keep us arguing over minute little issues that have nothing to do with the facts.
At your table, two African-American charismatics, Protestants, with a Roman Catholic priest of the highest order, white, right?
Yes,
what an extraordinary
right, yeah.
confluence that was.
Exactly.
And you were hit. Oh, I loved it. I loved
it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But, you know, Satan likes us in separation. That's the way he wants us. You ever notice that whenever someone's deep into their addictions or proclivities, they always isolate?
Yes.
Get off to themselves?
Oh, yes.
Because Satan loves to get you out of away from the herd where he can slay you.
I have seen this literally. You've seen it, I believe, as well, within the confines of our worship hall. I can't really say sanctuary where we're currently situated. It is in a functional way, but not aesthetically. But when there was that one corner in our building where somebody sat there, they either became a troublemaker or they were a sitting duck for satanic attack. It was an isolated corner.
Yeah.
Whoever sat in that corner, it was problematic. It was insane. And that's exactly what sin is. It's insanity.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So we're either afflicted in our sin nature or we are overbearing with it. One or the other.
One or the other.
And we've seen both from that corner.
Right. Right. And so what we're doing here is we are lifting ourselves out. So what we do, we've made a decision. Turn our will. Our will is our thinking. And our lives is our actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it turns our thinking and our actions over to the care of God as we understand them. So we're going to start thinking and acting in a way that is aligned with God's will for us. I'm trying to say that. Now, just Christianize that. We're getting in alignment with the will of the Holy Spirit that's in us. You can have the Holy Spirit in you, and you are surely saved, and you can live a sin-filled life or a miserable life, or you can get yourself in alignment with the Holy Spirit. And if you get yourself in alignment with the Holy Spirit, you can live a heavenly life right here on earth. You'll have trouble, for sure. But God will carry you through every one of them.
You know, there's a theological debate, and I'm not certain it's necessary. There are those who argue that when you come to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. I actually agree with that. By the same token, the Scripture says to those very same people who have come to Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's a contradiction here. As you say, you can have the Holy Spirit and be ignoring him, or you can have the Holy Spirit and you can surrender to him.
Right.
It's in the surrendering that we find what we need, because that unleashes, if you will, the blessings that come by way of his presence in your life.
Exactly. And that's what we're working toward here. We're going to work toward the blessings, opening up the door of heaven, so that the blessings that God has stored up for so many can pour out onto us and onto our lives. And he can make us abundant and abounding in fruits that are pleasing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I love your use of the word abounding, because in my poetry and often in my preaching, I utilize the alliterative expression of abide and abound. So if you come to Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, he's come to abide, but he waits to be allowed to abound.
Right.
And so when the Spirit of God is both abiding and abounding in our lives, that's where it's at, baby, if I may put it that way.
That's where it's at. And that's what we're working for right now. We're working toward, it's the first step toward the aboundment. This is opening the door for abide and the first step toward abounding.
I like it. I like it very much. And I'd also suggest, when you speak of, and the way you define, spoke of the will of God, which is our thinking, and our lives, which is our actions, I would even take it one step further, brother, and I'm sure you've heard me share this. It's part of the staple of my own teaching. But the ultimate, Star Trek, the final frontier. You and I were both Trekkies back in the day. Well, I would argue that for the Christian, or for the Holy Spirit, the final frontier in the life of each and every Christian are his or her instincts. You know, we can be conceptually racist or sexist, but we can be even worse, instinctively racist or sexist or other. And so he needs to get down to the instincts and transform those as well. But brother, we have one more round to go. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler, we return with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Paige, a very significant bit of phraseology in this step. Allow me to speak it. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Here's the statement: as we understood him. I know that rattled you when you first heard it. It rattled me when I first heard it, because I was raised within the realm of propositional theology. So this rattles one on the initial hearing, but share with us what it actually means.
Yeah, because you got to understand that God, as we understand, first thing is this was designed. Everybody's got to understand the 12-step program was designed, and I have actually used this, and I've actually made this walk with a total atheist. I'm talking about radical atheists, from atheism to acceptance. And I've used the 12 steps to walk that person down that road. This is designed to take the person from who has nothing, who has no belief system, no belief in God, or is even antithetical, radically opposed to a God concept, and move him along toward a God consciousness. But even beyond that, I accepted that. Okay, all right. So this is so the atheist can sit in the room. All right, I still don't like it. But one day God said to me, when I was reeling, God, as we understand him, "So Paige," in my heart he spoke, "you think you understand me?" And I had to think. "Well, I understand you as best I can today," he said. "Right. And guess what? Tomorrow you're going to understand me a little more. And the next day a little more. So a year from now, your understanding of me is going to be different from your understanding of me today. So it is as God, as I understand Him, as I best understand Him right now, doing the best I can right now with all the information I have, because God reveals Himself to us in layers. We cannot handle all of God at once. It would blow our minds. So God opens our minds up slowly so that we can be exposed to more and more of Him. And so each and every day I grow in Christ and I come to know Him better. And I get to know and understand God better. This morning you called me in La La Land. I was actually in prayer more than anything else. And I was really having a good session with Christ. I was on it doesn't happen all the time, I was on a one-on-one with Christ where I felt the presence of the Lord and where I felt He was communicating with me. And that's like, that only comes through the work that we put in through these steps. When we eliminate all the barriers that prevents God from coming into our lives and supping with us.
So you weren't, and I'm saying this soberly with a humorous vein, within a humorous vein, you weren't in La La Land, you were in Shangri-La. God's presence,
yeah,
I mean, that's Shangri-La, isn't it? That's
yep.
Shangri-La
yep.
is paradise. God's presence
yep.
is joy and peace and love. It's paradise. I've been there
yep.
myself. Praise God.
Yep. It's a wonderful place to be.
And if,
please. I wish I knew how to create it, because I try to do it all the time, set the situation up. Oh, last time I did all this, and if I do all that this time, it'll work. No, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. You can't put God into a bottle. I think sometimes we try to do that theologically or ecclesiastically or with our traditions, which parlay into traditionalisms. Traditions are lovely. The traditionalisms get in the way because we've tried to bottle God. I would argue this, brother. I'm thinking to myself that, you know, we get certain biblical doctrines in place. Praise God. But there's still the quality of our lives that needs to be addressed. Maybe there's sin that needs to be repented of, or there needs to be a more overt obedience to the will of God, or one needs to extend oneself beyond one's own nose. But when we get to that stage, we realize, but wait a minute, my instincts still need to be transformed. They're in the way of my understanding of who God is. And once that is done, wait a minute, now the thoughts have to be refined still further. So yes, it's a constant peeling away of layers of flesh. But as those layers are peeled away, there's greater clarity of sight, greater clarity of insight. It's a lifetime and then beyond.
And then beyond. Way beyond.
Yeah.
It goes on, I think, forever. Just as science keeps constantly revealing more and more of God, I believe, this is a pageism. I believe that we will look out into the cosmoses and we will continue to look further and further and further, and as far as our senses can see, we will not see the end. And I believe that if, as we continue to look down into the particles and what the particles are made of, and down below that, and we're going to keep on going, and we're never going to get to the end of that. We're going to find the boson Higgs of the particle. And I don't believe that there's going to be any end to that. I believe it's as infinitely small as it is infinitely large. It is unbelievable.
Well, if you just speak of you're speaking of the particles, the basic constituents of life. And the further scientists explore, the deeper it goes, the more we learn. Doesn't the scripture say that all of that plays out in God Himself? I mean, we live and breathe and have our being in Him. So those particles as does the cosmos. They reflect the infinitude of the God we have come to know.
Exactly.
And praise God, our little corner is cozy and comfy, and it's also challenging and convicting, but it's just a little piece of the pie.
It's a very small little piece.
Yeah.
And we're very small little specks.
Yeah.
Running around on a little small little speck of dust that is orbiting a little small little speck.
And yet, the Bible says God blesses the great and the small specks.
Exactly.
You know, praise God. Praise God. Brother, I wish we had more time, but we'll have step four in the next month. It is always a joy to have you. Would you like the last word? You've got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Well, I tell everybody, do step three and do it well. Turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand them.
Brother, I couldn't have said it better. God bless you. Brother Paige Tyler and Brad Lacey with the great message. We bid you God's blessing in every way. Thank you.
Amen.